Today's sermon is titled, Heaven is for Real. I want to put up the slide there, Arturo. This week, my thoughts have been just revolving around heaven. I don't know, when's the last time you thought about heaven? When's the last time you thought about heaven? Like, actually really thought about heaven?
Last night.
Okay, awesome. When's the last time you read about heaven in the scriptures? Maybe this morning. Praise the Lord. The Spirit is uniting us in our thoughts and reading of the scripture and all that. That's good stuff. Yeah, quite naturally, my thoughts have been around heaven just with the events of this week, with the celebration of life with Sophie Peru on Wednesday, as Lisa was saying, 18 years old, and an unexpected event to happen in the Peru family, their daughter being taken away at such a young age. And it's always sorrowful in life to lose loved ones, and especially for parents to see their children pass before themselves. I can't even imagine what that is like. And God willing and in His grace, never have to experience that in my life. But there is still such hope for us believers, a hope that fills us with joy even in those difficult times of loss. And that's the hope of heaven. The hope of heaven. And the reality of heaven is just marvelous. It is awesome. And I can't wait to see it one day. The celebration of life, we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, and that's where I want to start today. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who have about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we don't have to grieve like the rest of mankind, that we have a hope that is greater than anything in this world, a hope that is even greater than death. And that hope is eternal life in Jesus Christ, the Eternal One. And Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the hope it brings us. We thank you for this glimpse of, we can look at this morning, that of things of yet to come. So Lord, we just pray that your word would encourage us today and build our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we just read, we as believers don't have to grieve like the rest of humanity, because we have hope. The hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life in heaven with God. And the hope is foundational to the gospel message that Jesus died and rose again, and that all who call on the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins will receive forgiveness and eternal life. There is no greater hope, my friends. And when we have that hope in our hearts, we have such joy that it's a joy that this world cannot give. And the proof of all this is that Jesus is the first among many who will be resurrected to eternal life. The grave is empty to this day, and Jesus sits in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And listen to what Paul continues writing in verses 15 to 18. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We who are still alive will not go before those who have fallen asleep, meaning those who have died, who have passed away already. And Jesus himself will come down from heaven, like we see in that picture there painted by one of our church members. It says, "Katso mina tulempien," look, I am coming soon. And Jesus will come down from heaven. There will be a loud command and a trumpet call of God. And the dead of those who belong to Jesus, who knew him, who know him as Savior and Lord, will be raised to life. And it's only after that that all who are still living and our believers will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Lord. And then we'll be taken into heaven to be with one another and our Lord forever. And this chapter closes off with the instruction to what? To encourage each other with these words. Now, I don't know, this is pretty exciting stuff. Think about it, this is actually going to happen. That we will be lifted up with all the other believers to meet our Lord and Savior. Man, what a day that will be. And that gets me so excited. If it doesn't excite you, you better check if you're still living. I think even if you're dead, you're excited about this. To be alive eternally with Christ. You may have heard of an old-time pastor named C.T. Studd. You guys know C.T. Studd? Yeah. Famous preacher. And at one point, he was so tired of the apathy within the church that he said, "I wish I could take every Christian and dangle them over the pit of hell for 30 seconds. Now, no doubt that would change us, right? No doubt that would have a lasting impact on us, and that would put the fear of God in us in a totally different way than we've ever experienced. And some people claim to have experienced this, and you can find books and videos of testimonies of people who have, say, they've seen hell and caught a glimpse of what it's like there. But you know what? I think it'd be even more awesome. I don't know if that'd be actually awesome to see hell, but maybe just greater, you could say, is if we could catch a glimpse of what heaven is like. If we could see the throne room of God and what is going on there. It would change us for the rest of our lives in a mighty way. You know, I wish right now God could just tear open the sky, the ceiling right now, and just give us a glimpse of what's happening in heaven. Allow us to see him like we were singing. We want to see you, Jesus. And it would just dramatically change us. It would change the way we live our everyday life, what we care about, what we think about. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I get pretty casual with God, you could say. But man, just imagine how we'd be changed if we could see God, see heaven, see his kingdom. We would live totally different. But the reality is that most of us most likely will never get to see or experience that in our lifetime here. And that is why passages in the Bible that talk about God in heaven are so important. Like Revelation 4 that talks about the throne room of God. And Revelation 21 that describes heaven and the holy city of the kingdom of God. And that's where I want to turn to is Revelation 21. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Revelation 21. And we're going to read verses 10 to 14. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We'll stop right there. Now, some understand this description of heaven to be literal and physical of what it's like there, while others believe this describes kind of a heavenly symbolic way of what life in heaven will be like. And perhaps truth is in both of those or somewhere in the middle. But either way, heaven is truly impressive and magnificent. The city shines with the glory of God. Shines with the glory of God. Like the most precious, perfect stones that we can imagine. And the walls are great, high walls, showing the strength of God and protection of all who are within the walls. And the gates have 12 angels, 12 gates with 12 angels guarding the gates. And the 12 gates that have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there are 12 layers of foundation, each one with the name of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ on them. And this shows the coming together of the New and Old Testaments in a beautiful way. In the next few verses, 15 to 17, there's measurements given of the city. And that's made of the purest gold. And the shape of the city coincides the shape of the holiest of holies in the ancient temple of Solomon. But let's continue in verses 18 onward. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, and the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Wow. amazing. It's so important for us to sometimes and often think about what heaven is like and that goal that we're striving towards, like Lisa read in Philippians, that heavenly goal. So much is happening in this world that is just dark and evil, that is trying to tear that hope away from us. And so easily we get transfixed on that. We start to get depressed and down and just depressed, you could say. But then when we think of heaven and the hope of what is coming and what is to come, it changes our perspective. That what is going on in this world is temporary, and it shall perish and cease to exist. And there is much greater things on the other side of this life that is prepared for us in Christ Jesus. That's what we cling on to. That's where we set our eyes upon. That is our future. Heaven. The walls were made of jasper and the city of pure gold, pure as glass. Think about a gold that is just so pure and clean, like glass. Man, that's got to shine. It shows the priceless value of the kingdom, the transparent purity of the kingdom of heaven. The 12 foundations were made of precious stones. And these 12 stones recall the stones that were set in the high priest's breastplate in the Old Testament. It's just beautiful how God's word comes together like this. And the 12 gates are the infamous pearly gates, each made from a single large pearl. That's a huge pearl. I think that's impossible to find in our life, in this world. You guys seen the pearl necklaces, right? Tiny, and then you see some of the rings that have the biggest pearls in the world. But these are gates made from a single pearl. God is awesome, and He is worthy of such riches and such glory. Let's praise Him. Man, I can't wait to see those gates. And there's no temple in the city because God Almighty is its temple. His presence will be there. There will be no need for a room or a temple to contain His presence like here in this earth, because He is present there, living among His people. Man, it just brings tears to my eyes. It's just His glory and excitement that'll be there. And listen to this. There will be no need for a sun or a moon because God will be the source of light for all the nations to walk by. There will be no night. There will be no darkness. Anything to do with darkness, evil or impure, will not be permitted to enter the kingdom of heaven. No one who does anything shameful or deceitful will be allowed entrance. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life can enter. Is your name in that book today? Sure hope so. We remember today as we come to the communion table that it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that our name is written in the Book of Life. We can only enter heaven's gates into the kingdom of heaven because of what Jesus has done. What He has done. Our impurities are washed away because Jesus carried our sins upon Himself and died on the cross so that we can receive forgiveness and salvation. It's not because of anything that we've done. It's not because of anything good anything that we're good enough that Jesus gave His life for us. It's simply because of God's love and grace towards humanity. Man, I got to read from chapter 22 just a little bit. I don't have the scripture up there, but listen to this going on. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more light. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. What does that bring to mind? The river of life, the tree? Where else does the Bible talk about this stuff? The very beginning, right? The Garden of Eden. Heaven will be a paradise. And we will see God's face, just as Adam and Eve saw God's face and walked with him. So it will be. And what rejoicing we will have with our Lord and Savior. So today, be encouraged. Be encouraged that there's so much greater things ahead for all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Don't let this world get you down. Don't let this present sufferings that we're going through in this lifetime get you down. The Bible actually says that the present sufferings and trials, tribulation, hardships that we go through aren't even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in the days to come in heaven. Be encouraged by the promises of God that we are all heaven bound and our citizenship belongs to heaven and not here on earth. And there is room for all God's saints in heaven. I want to close off with John 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not, these are the words of Jesus, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Father's house has many rooms. There is room for you in heaven. Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place in his Father's house for you and I. So if you're feeling down today, if you're feeling a little lost, if you feel that you're lacking faith, take heart and believe in Jesus. He will come back to take us home, to be with him, so that we can be where him and his Father are. Sometimes we feel lost in life. Sometimes we may feel like we've lost our way and wondering, how do I get to heaven? Is there a GPS that can show me? But remember, Jesus is the way, the only way. So look to him, cling to him, go to him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Let's pray.